may approach. Our next case is Tierney versus Tierney. Good morning, Ms. Fangmeyer.
Good morning, Judge Pirtle. Good, Judge Bishop.
Good morning.
I would like to reserve a minute.
1 minute.
For rebuttal.
Okay.
Possible rebuttal.
You may begin. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Marcia Fangmeyer, and I am here representing Larry Tierney. Mr. Tierney is a rancher who has spent his entire life, with the exception of 4 years, in Custer County. Before his marriage, he was a rancher, and all through his marriage, he was a rancher. What he does is he buys calves in the fall, and he transports them from different parts of the country to pasture ground in Custer County. He fattens them up, and then he sells them after a year of working, fattening them up. The good news this year, he's had a lot of rain, so his pastures are looking fabulous. The heart of this case has to do with some land that we have identified at trial in Exhibit Number 12 as the pink land and the red land. That is the most important issue for Mr. Tierney. There are other issues that were briefed, including credit for debts he paid, the valuation of some bank accounts, and those issues. But what really is at the heart of it for Mr. Tierney is the pink and the red land. The pink and the red land has been in his family since 1948. We maintain that those two parcels of ground should first have been considered non-marital. And secondly, if the court rejects that argument, they should at least be given, awarded to Mr. Tierney.
If we find that they are marital and but decide they should be awarded to your client, do you agree that the equalization would have to be adjusted then?
Oh, absolutely.
So
yes.
There would be a much higher equalization owed to Catherine.
We would, the equalization put forth in my brief is on page 32, and there's no doubt that if you decide that this is not, that it is marital, but award it to him, certainly that should be adjusted. And there are probably some other things in there that need to be adjusted also. But here's the deal, you know, this is the land where all of the corrals, all of the arenas, all of the barns, everything he uses to operate his cattle operation is on the red and the pink ground. Now, Mrs. Tierney has indicated that she would lease that to him, but can you imagine what it must be like for him to walk into the bank and to work on his annual operating loan, and they say, well, you don't own the pink and the red ground anymore. Well, no, I don't. Well, do you have a lease for it? Well, maybe. Well, how much of a lease do you have? Well, I don't know. So, you know, I can't imagine a bank continuing to work with Mr. Tierney under those circumstances. And we have no evidence whatsoever that Mrs. Tierney is going to lease the land to him on any reasonable terms that would satisfy, you know, a banker and keep working with him.
Can we talk a little bit about the marital versus non-marital
yes.
aspect
mm-hmm.
of the red and pink properties?
You
so
bet.
In 1982, they both signed a mortgage to purchase that land and a sale annuity agreement of sorts. Is there evidence in the record as to the total amount that was paid by them from 1982 until 1994 when the bankruptcy occurred and they deeded the land back?
I'd have to do the math on it, but it was, I'd have to look at the record. But
they were paying money.
They were
together.
Paying money for this land, that's true. And then when she, when they filed, went through a bankruptcy in 1994, then Mrs. Tierney forgave any further payments and deeded the land to Mr. Tierney.
Is there evidence of how the land was titled from 1982 until 1984, given that they both signed the deed, giving the land back to mom? Was it titled in both their names?
Off the top of my head, Your Honor, I cannot recall.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of deeds that are in the list, in the records, but off the top of my head, I'm not sure that was ever put into evidence.
Okay.
Maybe Mr. McDermott can remember that.
Okay.
So, but she deeded it to just Mr. Tierney in 1994, And granted, I will say later on, it was placed in both of their names, and at the time of trial, it was placed in both of their names. But I would just note a couple of things. One is, the law now is that how it's titled doesn't make any difference, or doesn't, isn't the controlling issue.
Right.
It does make a difference, but it's not controlling. And I want to note that there are a lot of reasons why married people will put a piece of property into joint ownership. But when that marriage falls apart and we're at the point of divorce, then it behooves us to look at the history and determine whether it is fair and equitable that that land that's been in his family since 1948 should be offset as non-marital property under the circumstances.
But they were using that land together, weren't they, as part of the Custer County Pastures operation?
Yes, they were.
And that never really changed during
that
the course
really
of their
changed.
Marriage.
That is true. That is true. And there is an alternative here. There is land that should and could be awarded to Mrs. Tierney so that she does have income, as she has stated in the testimony, that she wanted this to supplement her retirement income. She wanted to be able to rent the land out and supplement it. So there, but there is other land where she can do that, which would not impede on Mr. Tierney's use of the corrals, the barns, and the, excuse me, in the arena, and would allow him to continue the operation that he's had, starting even before they got married. It's not like that she's going to be left out in the cold. And I will note that he has also asked for the house, which is part of the that land, but there is testimony in there that if the court determines, like I said, the most important thing for Mr. Tierney is the pink and the red ground. That is the heart of the matter for him, and the even if he even the house could be awarded to her, it makes sense that it would be awarded to him, but there is testimony in the record that shows that it's possible for him to continue using the barns and the arena and not impede on her living in the house. And there's access to the house and there's access to the barns.
Does that create potential conflict too, you know, with him coming and going and she's living there?
Potentially, you know? Yes, mm-hmm. Potentially. But they've been doing it. But I just say that because I just can't stop emphasizing enough that the issue for him is the red
land.
And the pink ground.
Right.
Those are that's the issue. And we briefed the other issues. There's some bank accounts that he used, or, you know, they entered into the stipulation that said during the separation and before trial, they would continue using the bank accounts for the Custer County pasture. Mrs. Tierney decided not to participate in the bank loans and the necessary lending issues at that point in time, so Mr. Tierney had to go off and set up his own personal operation. And those two bank accounts were used up during the course of the separation for the expenses involved in running a cow-calf operation, all the expenses of CCP. So those should have been zeroed out. And he should be given credit for the debt that he paid for CCP out of his own pocket after he set up his own operation. That should be in there, and that's set out in the calculations on page 32 of our brief.
So how would we be able to say the court abused its discretion in awarding the red and the pink to Catherine? How did it abuse its discretion in making that decision?
It abused its discretion because it is essentially taking away Mr. Tierney's livelihood, and that is an abuse of discretion. Total abuse of discretion.
Because of all the operational
aspects. I understand that the court has a lot of discretion in these cases, but there are times when it doesn't make any sense, and it isn't fair. Doggone it,
well,
it's not fair.
And isn't this case a little unusual because there is other land that can be given to her
exactly.
to offset that?
Exactly. There's other land that she could then rent to Mr. Tierney or to somebody else. But this way, if he has the red and pink land, he doesn't have to go find someplace else to set up an operation. And he doesn't have to worry about whether she's going to rent the land to him. He doesn't have to go into the banker and say, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, you got to have that a few years down the road. It can't be just a 6-month, 1-year situation.
Okay. morning, Mr. McDermott.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name's John McDermott. I represent Catherine Tierney in this case. I'm going to hit the issue of the red and the pink land because that's what the magic markers were that we used for that exhibit number 12. So that's how you get the red and pink land. The red and pink land consists of approximately a total of 200 acres. So the total amount of owned and leased land that Mr. Tierney ranches is approximately 2,900 acres. They own 1,573 of those acres. Of the 1,573 acres, the approximately 200 acres, the red and the pink land, is the land that was awarded to Mrs. Tierney. Let's talk about whether it's marital or not non-marital. The record reflects that the parties were married in 1980. I think they moved to the ranch right away. They lived in the old ranch house since 1980. They reached an annuity agreement with Mr. Tierney's mother. They were paying her $10 an acre, I believe, up until 1994 when they took bankruptcy. The record reflects that, I want to say, at 3:25 on June such and such date in 1994, the deed was recorded from Mr. and Mrs. Tierney to Larry Tierney's mother. At approximately 3:30, the very same date, the land was deeded back from Larry Tierney's mother to Larry Tierney. It remained in Larry Tierney's name until approximately 2008, when Mrs. Tierney went to get a loan for the house. She then told Mr. Tierney, it's not in my name. And the record reflects that he said, well, that should be in your name. So he went down and...
Had it been before?
It was just in Larry's name
before. No, I know after the bankruptcy, but 1982...
And Judge, I don't recall
you don't
either.
Know, okay.
I do know that deed is an exhibit.
It is?
Yes,
okay.
I believe so.
Thank you.
The original deed. So what occurred next then was that Mr. Tierney then went down and put it in both of their names as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. They also continued after that to pay an annuity of $30 an acre per year to Larry Tierney's mother. So not only did they expend $127,000 fixing up the house, but they also paid monies to Larry Tierney's mother on that annuity after 2008. So in my opinion, there's just no question but that is marital property. So that, in my opinion, that gets us past the first threshold question.
So if we were to agree with you on that, why the red and the pink? Why is that essential to your client when it appears to be pretty essential?
Well, that's my client's home for 39 years. It may have been in Mr. Tierney's family since 1948, but that's been her home for 39 years.
The house.
That's correct. The red and the pink land adjoin each other. Mm-hmm. The green land would be distant away, okay? The record in this case reflects that Mr. Tierney doesn't need, it's not essential to his operation to have the corral, the barns, the bunkhouse, whatever. He's had use of them. It was 2 years before we finally got to a final hearing in this case. And during that 2 years, the parties had stipulated that Mr. Tierney would have use of the corrals, the barns, the arena as he needed, and he did so. There was absolutely no problem. There was no acrimonious relationship between the parties that resulted in the police being called or anything like that. In fact, there wasn't even a hint of it. They both went around about their business. Now, I know you're from Omaha, Judge, and I know you're from Lincoln, Judge, but here's the thing about a ranching operation. Your cattle get fat when they're out in the pasture. They don't get fat sitting in a corral. So I understand that there may be times during the year that Mr. Tierney might need to use the corral to brand them or to give them medicine or whatever he might, and they're available to her. And Mrs. Tierney testified that she's more than happy to lease those to him at a fair market value. So whatever fair market value is, it's easy to determine. We just call one of the local appraisers, what's the fair market value for pasture this year? Well, it's going for this much per acre for a cow-calf, great. Half of his land he's leasing now anyway.
What's the disadvantage to her if she has the house but not ownership of the land?
Well, it's a huge disadvantage for her because at least then she has the ability to, you know, has access to it and that land. It's only, I think, the ensuing acres. I mean, the total is approximately 200 acres. It just allows her to sell it then as a unit. If she just has that little house, that 1 acre, good luck selling it in the future because she doesn't have the adjoining tract to it. It really would devalue the value of that, of her little house going forward. Nobody's going to buy a little 1 acre tract when they're all ranchers out there. So the adjoining tract, and I think Judge Noakes took that into consideration when she said, I'm going to give her the red tract and the pink tract. The other thing is, and I don't mean any disrespect to Mr. Tierney by this, but they're not flush in cash. So it's going to, when we divide the assets in this case, as Judge Noakes did, you have to take into consideration the valuation on those various tracts and how it's going to work out so that Mr. Tierney can continue in his operation. Now, he's getting the majority of the land, and quite frankly, like I say, there's nothing in the evidence that suggests that this is absolutely essential or necessary, her little one-acre tract, you know, along with the adjoining, the pink and the red, for his operation. And she could lease that to somebody else if she wanted to, but she said, her testimony is, I'd be happy to lease it to Mr. Tierney at fair market value. If she wants multi-year lease, he can get a multi-year lease. And that's no different than if Mr. Tierney went into the bank and said, well, I need capital for this year's operating thing. And the bank said, well, do you have some land lined up? Well, yes, I have it with Rancher Brown or Rancher Smith. And they're going to ask, what's the fair market? You know, what are you renting for? Well, it's going to have to be fair market value because they're not going to give them a loan for anything more than that. So it's our position that when the court awarded that red and pink tract to Mrs. Tierney, the court considered that. And I think the court carefully considered other alternatives that were available to the parties. And so it's our position that the court was correct in doing that. I'll just briefly hit the other points. And again, I apologize, Judge, but there's no testimony that the corrals and the barns were essential to his operation. He used them occasionally. Most of the time, those cattle were out in the pasture. As far as the credit for expenses, what happened in this case was that Mr. Tierney, the property statement set the accounts and the balances at the time that the parties separated. So Mr. Tierney then took possession of the cattle and the expenses and so forth. Well, he had the operation of that for 2 years. So his beef, not to make a pun in a rancher case, is that he shouldn't be caught with those expenses. Well, but he had the income. So he doesn't want to account for the income. He sold the crops. He sold the cattle. So he doesn't want to tell you how much he got for the cattle, but he's complaining that I had to pay those expenses. Well, of course you had to pay the expenses, but you got the income. But at trial, you didn't want to tell us what the income is. So what the judge did, I thought reasonably so, said, okay, well, we'll just put that cut off at the time that you separated. So here's the total amount of value. Here's the expenses for that. I'm going to net this out, and that's what we're going to divide. And that's totally appropriate. By the same token, Judge Noakes, on the land had gone down in value by the time we got to trial. In fact, the land had gone down to the tune of about $700,000. So if we're going to be fair here, if the judge would have used that date of separation, the date of filing, I should have another my client should have another $350,000 here. So the gist of Mr. Tierney's argument is that he should have the valuations as most advantageous to him, whichever works out best. And that's just not right. As Marcia says, it's just not fair. So that's how the judge did it. I thought the judge was correct in doing so.
Did you have a problem with those two different dates?
No, because I thought they were fair. You know, my client might kick me in the butt for saying that, but I thought it was fair. Look, if the land went down in value, it affects Mr. Tierney as well as Mrs. Tierney. And I don't think it's fair to say, okay, well, you got to pay me another $350,000 when the underlying asset of that is the land that's gone down in value. So the pole star of these cases is fairness. And to be honest with you, I had really no objection to that. I didn't think it had gone down quite that much, but the judge made that determination, and she had the discretion to make that determination. And if it went down, it went down, and it affects my client equally as it affects Mr. Tierney. So I don't have any problem with that, but I also think it's only fair that if you have the cattle and you have that, you know, you don't get to run me on this value and then say down here, it's I owe you more in expenses. So I think that's all I had to argue. That's the biggest issues I had.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have rebuttal time?
Yes. 40 seconds.
All right.
40 seconds.
Mr. McDermott brought up just the exact reason why the land got put into both of their names. They needed to borrow money to fix up the house. We don't dispute the fact that the house is marital property because they did a tremendous amount of work. They basically really built a new house. and they borrowed money to do it. They had to get the property into her name in order to do that. That's a good reason. But that, what, when it came, comes down to the divorce, then we could look back to the history of this and say, wait a minute, that the Mrs. Tierney wanted Mr. Tierney to have that land, period. Secondly, I don't know why he keeps saying that those things are not essential. Of course corrals and barns are essential to a cow-calf operation, even if it is out in the pasture most of the time. Thank you, Your Honor, and have a wonderful day.
I do have one more question. I'm going to take you past a little bit. Mr. McDermott raised a good point, that if Catherine was given the house and the 1 acre.
Mm-hmm. I was going to get to that, but I didn't have time.
Can you please
yes.
address that?
I think that happens all the time in the country. There's no evidence. There was no evidence in the record that said that she would not be able to sell that house without having at least, you can read it yourself, but I don't recall any evidence that focused on the saleability of the house without having those extra pieces. And, you know, quite frankly, that happens all the time in the country. You know, there'll be a house that's sitting there. There'll be a couple of acres, and it'll be surrounded by farmland that's, you know, I can think of three places just in my own neighborhood where it's like that. That's all the farm ground is around, but the house is owned by somebody else.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
The case
Thank
is submitted.
You.
We will take it under advisement, and you are excused.
Thank you.
Thank you.